원하지 마시오나기 타다니 비 신지 탐지지 되어도 토자라나미 비나나바 조비 산지지 공부를 뭐 지키는지 토벌을 시하고 대토벌을 시하고 제도 남비 교회를 뭐 지세인 현비 그놈 산주지 샘비 제 샘백원의 샘을 쇼
We must strive to accomplish complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother-sentient beings. It's for that reason we cultivate the altruistic motivation, or what we call bodhicitta motivation, and it's with that kind of motivation that all of us should participate in this teaching.
당하는지 처모로 아니 최 죽고 비진신데 최 양선행고 비진신 가리나 때때 예버도 최 사도 신기인한다 최 신이 달로모 붙이면한다 그 소신이 계속 가리 세비에는 중세도 혼 삼그리스 그 삼이나 아니 저도 계속해야 될 규칙부터 아니 바진 총야가다 내가 친구여리스
I feel that all of us must reflect upon the reasons why we need dharma or spirituality in our personal life, and why we need to cultivate spirituality within our mind. If we do that, I think that will contribute to to enhance the effectiveness of our practice, and also that will contribute to the consistency of our practice, so that we will be able to consistently do our practice.
Tā sāvā kum būsīñi ki ka anīn dvēshā tī kharīn dvēkīn sīn dēvā tāng dēvān dvēkīn rīs dūngīm dvēkīn tāng dvēkīn rīs dūngīm mē gōkīn rīs tā tē dēvā kāsī nā yōkīn rīs tā yīnā tī dēdū kōlō nī ngārāntu rīs yōngīt kōlō nī ngārāntu rīs gōyā kā dūngīm māng būchīn yōng gōyā kā dēvā māng būchīn dūsīn tā mē yōng chāgī rīs
One of the basic or fundamental reasons why everybody needs spirituality in their lives, in their meaning we include ourselves in that whole universe of sentient beings. It's just because all of us have these deeply shared aspirations or the wishes that nobody, even down to the smallest insects, want any kind of pain and suffering. We are all same in not wishing any kind of pain or suffering. And we are also saying in that we wish for, true happiness, lasting happiness. But that's all what we really want deep down inside us. But now if we analyze the situation in which we find ourselves in, is that what is true? If that's what we wish for, do we really have those wishes being fulfilled, if you will? Well, what we really experience is just the opposite. We wish for true and lasting happiness, but that seems to be very rare in our life. We find it really hard to find that. We really don't want any kind of difficulties, problems, suffering, but that's what we really are mostly getting, And as we look at our own situation, what we want and where we are, if you will, then we will start to understand the significance of spirituality and why spirituality is needed in our life. So we recognize our deeply shared aspirations and wishes. We wish for happiness, we don't wish for suffering or pain. But what we really mostly run into are the problems and sufferings, and what we really find hard to find or enjoy is the true happiness. So that being the case, now we as spiritual practitioners or the seekers or aspirants or whatever we want to call ourselves in, those who are really interested in spirituality, so we need, what kind of actions we should engage in, if you will? Okay, what should we be doing? What is our responsibility? You know, we want to do something, action. Well, our action basically consists of two things. To put very simply, that we need to abandon any kind of negativity or negative action, however small it is, insignificant, it doesn't matter. We need to make efforts to stop creating any kind of negativity and get rid of negativities we have already done and accumulated. On the other hand, we need to make every effort to do that which is positive. However small and insignificant a positive action is or could be, it doesn't matter, but as, you know, we should be engaging in such actions. So in other words, what I'm really talking about here is in the Tibetan, we have those, you know, very concise and, you know, I mean, terms to say that what we as practitioners should be doing is panglang. What does it mean? Pang meaning abandonment, the practice of abandonment, the things we need to get rid of, the things we should not do. So that all goes into the practice of abandonment, pang. And then the lang means to adopt, to cultivate, the things which we should be cultivating and we should, actualize. And so this is basically what each of us need to do. Okay, so our actions consist of abandoning negativities and doing positive things. And then I emphasize on our personal responsibility to do that. You know, we might go into this kind of a mindset, yeah, that is very important, but I can't do it, so I will maybe ask somebody to do that for me, you know. Okay, I heard that refuge practice is really important and essential, but I can't do, so maybe I can ask someone to do that for me. And that someone could be, as you know, anybody, our guru or some other people. So, you know, you might get into the mindset of, you know, paying someone to do the practice for us, but that doesn't work, you know. So we need to do it ourselves. That's what exactly our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha said in a sutra, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, and he said, even if you stay at home, but the chim usually is translated as being a lay person, so you have a family, you are at home, okay, you have not abandoned all that, so that's what it means, being at a home, okay. And so if you're really truly interested, you know, being at a home or leading a family life, if you will, you know, if I put a bit of commentary there, that the enlightenment or the nirvana is in your own hand, okay? And there are those individuals who can manage that, you know, being at a home, being living the lay life, but you still could do the practice if you can handle it, the spirituality, the cultivation of spirituality, you can achieve nirvana enlightenment.
타바 테야네 타 옌레 니가마레 테야네 아 랑라 라레세 타바 옌레 마 라라 라링 마레스 랑라 라레스 데 미스 데스 랑고 두고에 싱거레스
And then, I think Gisela slips into English. Well, he could speak English. Then I will be out of job. That's the problem. So he said, so Buddha said, even if you lead a family life or being at home, you know, nirvana or enlightenment is in your hand. And then he continues to say that nirvana or enlightenment is dependent upon you, but not upon other people. Okay, if we as individuals want to achieve enlightenment, nirvana, that is in our hand, and that depends on what we do or what we decide to do. It's not something, you know, we have to rely upon, you know, other people. So we need to stop doing negativities or abandon negativities. We need to do positive actions, constructive actions. But then when it comes to doing that, right, so we can't practice in a state of abstract, you know, some kind of a, you know, cyberspace, you know, we can't do that. We have to practice in relation to something and somebody, you know, that's what we call the reference, you know, referential points, you know, if you like some of those bombastic words, like whatever that means. But anyway, in relation to somebody, we got to do this practice. And so we can explain that on, you know, how to say, on two different levels, if you will. Number one, we do our practice in relation to what we call objects of refuge, in whom we go for refuge in. But other, on another level, we do practice in relation to sentient beings, okay, other beings. Of these two things, our practice is mostly done or should be done in relation to sentient beings. So sentient beings are very important. They are what we call our, you know, what is it called? Our reference, the reference for our practice.
That thing, but then, just as you were told, I was saying, change you not on the was. You think Dela, you never take you, Indian traditions. So, Marasola, and it Dela can be with you, Tar, Yaku, if you connect in and Marasol, Rantol, to Sumati, and they drank a yen, and they were the two in your son, Tani, Dela, and Sumaris, Nukana.
So sentient beings, you know, are the reference for our own spiritual development and practice. So without them, in some sense, we cannot do our practice. And this is why, you know, great Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, means great of the great Bodhisattvas, Shantideva states very clearly in his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhisattva Char Avatar, and again Gisela quoted the stanza from his memory. So basically what Shantideva says is that every kind of goodness, positive things that we find in the universe is basically because of cherishing others, other sentient beings. Okay, and every kind of a suffering or the, you know, things going wrong in the universe, you know, in our life, in everybody's life, is because of cherishing oneself at the cost of others, okay, due to self-cherishing attitude. So now this really explains a whole lot of things why sentient beings are so important for our own spiritual growth and development. When we really care for them, when we really want to help them think altruistically and then engage in, you know, actions to bring about that altruism in action or to benefit beings, then that's what really brings happiness and goodness, you know, to us and in the universe.
Yes. 근데 정말 아니 아 랑된 되는 중 랑긴진 되는 중 그래서 때 가르에서는 랑기브는 집이 긴지 그 왕기 아니 랑기는 다 민기 빌레 소케야 땅 아니 마지벌 램바 땅 대비 로그 임바 땅 주인 아타 주인 참아서 좀 하시네 노신이 안 되죠 이게들 랑기브는 진이 민기 위에 몸보진도 휴에서 다 뒤 남이 되네 다 동이 들어가는 거 그래서 누가는 거
So the goodness in the universe comes from cherishing other sentient beings, caring for others, you know, doing things to benefit others. But the suffering and problems that we see in the universe are basically due to our own self-centeredness and self-cherishing attitude. You know, when we are so locked into nothing but I, and this is it, you know, I am whatever, and I want this and that, and, you know, just multiply it by a billion times, everything I want. And then what happens is our actions become selfishly oriented actions. So I go to the extent of killing others, if that means, you know, I'm going to be happy, or I need to be protected. Or that I'm going to go and steal other things, because that's what I want, you know, that... Or that I go and indulge in adultery and all other actions, sexual misconduct, because that's what means making I happy. And I'll go and cheat and, divide friends, you know, into, enemies and all this stuff, because that means, you know, just making I happy. And that's how a self-cherishing attitude, self-centeredness, you know, is at the root of, all the problems we experience in our life and in our universe.
That is, when I say those about doing the thing, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Ani rana mende be rung tada yung sa god ka isna rana kibran zebe kienzi zhe. Ta rana debo de kibo yung ya ku gote. Gote na yad zhe, ishe ebe chebe na ne rana ta debo de kibo yung gore. Ti god ka resa na ne yin kibran zebe kienzi ta rana kibran zebe kienzi, yin kibran zebe kienzi yung bo te. Ta sosu ne danga maloba stong zhe ta sosu rangpao ne.
So it is like, metaphorically speaking, we are standing in front of these two doors, which are both closed right now, and we are given these two options. There's no third option. Said, okay, you know, one door is labeled, you know, the door to happiness, and the other door is the, you know, door to, you know, problems, and we are given the choice to make our own decision as to which one door you want to open. Now, if you open the door of altruism, cherishing others, then that really door lead us to this, you know, happiness and goodness. But if you open the door which says selfishness or, you know, egoism or whatever it is labeled, then we are going to go into more problems and suffering.
Never some change member. Tikavina, Ranam Dipirit, and the time you are going to have.
So, what that really basically means in a basic sense is that if we do not want suffering, pain, and, you know, all that, then we should see that our actions of body, speech, and mind, our physical actions, our verbal actions, and our mental actions, they do not harm anybody, any sentient being. When we say any sentient being, we literally mean it, okay? There's no exception to the rule, you know? Down to the smallest insects, you know, we should not harm any sentient being. If you do, what happens is those negative actions will bring the kind of result that we don't want, suffering and pains to ourselves.
That may give you less self because the toy and court at Jebuti, G to Jebuti, you two yamaris. Quan Jebuti, that round may give you lake and it is sabina, the enemy to the garanti, you to garanti, you to think, tang idiots.
So when we engage in a negative karmic action, negativity, harming someone, while we are performing that karmic action, we may not experience its result, because, or we should not in some sense, because cause and effect do not coexist together. Okay? So because the cause is the, you know, cause precedes result, outcome. So when we are performing a negative action, we may not experience the result. But once that is done, a negative action surely brings a negative result. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
Let's say we are for some reason able to see for ourselves what kind of negative results our negative actions will bring, certainly bring to ourselves. Well, if we have that kind of awareness or that kind of a knowledge or that kind of a, you know, certitude in ourselves, okay, I know that this is going to happen, okay, then of course we are not going to indulge in those negativities. Because this is like, you know, we have wonderful eyesight, standing on top of a cliff, we see if you jump over this, you're going to be stupid and die. And that's why people don't jump, you know, people meaning normal people, you know. Okay. So if you do that with open eyes and knowing that you jump, you're going to die and still do, I mean, you can't be more stupid than that. So in the same way, you know, if we somehow know that by doing certain negative actions, they are sure to bring certain negative outcomes. We can see that, you know, with our open eyes, then we are really not going to do that. But usually what happens is that our mind is obscured by delusions, particularly ignorance. Okay? We have karmic obscuration, we have ignorance, you know, as an obscuration in the mind. So we really don't know much about how the karma works, you know, operates. What is the mechanism through which karma works and how it really works. There's so many subtleties, and due to such lack of knowledge, due to ignorance, mental obscuration, that we end up doing a lot of negativities. So even though, say, Shakyamuni Buddha has said very clearly that if you do good, you will have good. If you do positive karmic actions, they will certainly bring positive results. They never bring negative. And that's not in the law of nature. Okay. But we know that. But somehow, we may or may know that intellectually. But because we couldn't see the things for ourselves, and we don't see that if I do this positive action, I can see this positive outcome coming for sure, we don't see that. So sometimes what happens maybe in our own life is that then we started to doubt. You know, we said, okay, that's what's being said, or somebody said it, but I really don't know, you know. And then, you know, we, how to say, we don't enthusiastically engage in the positive actions that we should be engaging in.
So that the dunkete, the jutan, ju devasani, debut devan junta, jim deva sani, debut dunhin junete, mehia the karat, shiguason, ane maripi, ane, ah, debuyores, lander the jirm jundua, lander nin, marit to be to be dips, lang pal.
So now if we ask ourselves that, you know, why aren't we able to see things clearly for ourselves? We can talk about it. We know that positive actions lead to positive outcomes, negative actions lead to negative outcomes. Now that seems like a straightforward symbol. But the fact of the matter is, we don't have direct experiences in this matter to say that, yeah, that's what I know. I can see it for myself. And you don't have to tell me. I can see that. Well, the reason why we couldn't see it for ourselves in many ways in the present situation, it's not always going to be this, but it's because in our mind we have what is called ignorance. Sanskrit called avidya. Ignorance obscures our mind and we don't see realities as they are. We don't see how the karmic actions operate and bring all kinds of different results. Okay? And this is basically what Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerumuche sitting over there. I mean, he said it very clearly, and as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, that our mind is shrouded in ignorance, due to which we really don't understand about the ins and outs of the practices of abandonment and cultivation. So, at the deepest level, you know, what really brings us all kinds of problems we don't want, and why, you know, we don't see realities as they are, is because of our ignorance. So in order to uproot that, now we really have to investigate and find out what can help us to get rid of ignorance. What method is there, what antidote is there that can counteract our ignorance? Because we want to liberate ourselves from ignorance. So what can really help us to get rid of ignorance from within our mind is if we adopt what is called this threefold approach, which consists of study, or traditionally called listening to teaching, Theba, Samba, contemplation, and Gomba, meditation. So if we integrate these three things, of course, first we have to study, listen to teaching, otherwise what do we know, really? You know? But once we learn about it, we got to contemplate deeply the meaning of what we have learned. But once that is kind of defined clearly, now we got to meditate on what we really have ascertained. So through these processes, these are the part of our cultivation practices, that we develop different levels of wisdom. That's why we call it the wisdom that arises from listening to teaching, you know, at one level. Above that, the wisdom that arises from contemplation, deep thinking. Above that, the wisdom that arises through meditation. So as we cultivate these three different levels of wisdom, that means we are really, you know, spiritually maturing and growing, then we are able to counteract. We are going to, you know, fight with ignorance and get rid of it. So much has been, you know, talked about the benefits of study or listening to teaching, Theba, you know, how important it is and what kind of a role it plays in our spiritual development. And you know, in sutras, Buddha himself said, and Geshe-la is quoting some of the lines, he said, listening to teaching, metaphorically speaking, is like switching on the light that dispels the darkness of ignorance. Right? If ignorance is there, then we don't see realities that they are. So we want to dispel from our mind this darkness of ignorance. The only way to do that is shine the light of wisdom, because that's the only way, and not the torch or anything like that. And so when we say Theba, Tibetan, meaning to listen to, which is a traditional term, but in a modern sense it means education. We need to educate ourselves about Dharma practice, right? It's through education, meaning we go and attend the teachings, we read Dharma books, maybe we do research, and all of these things are part of what is called listening to teaching. And through that, we are able to, how to say, counteract ignorance. So I'm just in some kind of highlighting the importance of listening to teaching. Of course, there are so many benefits of it, and I'm not here today particularly to talk about the benefits of listening to teaching.
You know. Kyogani kanda ke kinaris. Kyobe tebe dana hebrinjus. Ani taba sheni ani kyog kanda hegris. E sam tong jung gores. Kyoba tala teni ani sambe hirat sheng gores.
So the real purpose of listening to teaching or getting Dharma education is to be able to understand the concepts or the meanings of the teachings. And that's how listening to teaching is, you know, it is directly related to contemplation. Okay, as we listen, then we have something to contemplate. You know, if we don't listen, then we have nothing to think about. In other words, without education, without listening to teaching, then the other two things cannot function, contemplation and meditation. It is said elsewhere that you know, somebody who is trying to contemplate and meditate without having listened to teaching is just like a handicapped person, meaning who has no arms and no legs, but trying to become a rock climber. Okay, now don't think about any modern gadget, you know, somebody can fly about it. But if we say in a normal situation, you don't have a technology help that should be there, right? But you don't have arms and anything to, you know, climb over, but still you want to be a rock climber. Now that's a tough time, you know, figuring this one out. So just like that, trying to do contemplation and meditation without having Dharma education, listen to teaching, is similar to that.
So that's that. Then tōba tēngi tā tōba tōchāng tō māsīma shēni Intrīli kāni pārīma tā tōba tōchāng tō māsīma shēni tōndā tī rāngi xiebhi tōndā tī rāngi kēntō yōba ki tā tōndā tī yīsum tāngu yōrīs lālīni kio lālīni kārīgu yōrīs.
So the purpose of listening to teaching is not so much to gain Dharma knowledge, but there's a more deeper purpose and higher purpose, which is we want to be able to put, put the things into practice. Okay, as you heard Geshe-la use the term, right, we could go through Dharma education, listen to teaching, but we become very intellectual thing. You know, we're just kind of highly intellectual person, but we really don't care to put into practice what we, you know, so then that doesn't benefit much, you know. But that's not the purpose of listening to teaching, and that should not be. Okay, we need to learn, sure, but our learning is for a higher purpose, to bring about inner transformation within ourselves, to change ourselves for better, and that has to come through practice, not just the intellectual, you know, knowledge. So one of the examples given to illustrate this point is like, you know, let's say we are not feeling well, so we go and get medicine. You know, we have also educated our body on the medicine, which is the better one and all that stuff. Now we know so much about the medication, so we got all kinds of medicine next to us, but we never take them, right? But if we can talk about these things, we are really smart people, you know, what kind of things have been used to concoct or manufacture this medicine, or what the brand name is, and the price tag, and all the stuff. But if we never take the medication, we're never going to get well. Or the medicine is not going to help us, right? So like that, we can accumulate intellectual knowledge through education and listening to teaching, but never practice it. So this is like buying the medicine and not taking it. You know, it's not going to work, really. So as much as I emphasize the need to, you know, put the theory and practice together, we need to cultivate spirituality in our mind, not just get caught up in intellectual pursuit of knowledge. But I do not want also to kind of sound like or practice as something like in a high sounding, high floating, complex system, mystic and all of that. Then somebody think, oh my gosh, you know, I can't do it, you know, whatever that is. But practice can be very simple and very practical. The kind of things I was talking earlier to you, what we can do and should do in our everyday life. Okay? Just, you know, have good positive attitudes and, you know, set of mind for others. You know, we care about others. We talk a lot about love and compassion and all of those. You know, so try to bring a little bit of those in our life, you know, and try to help others if you could. But if you can't help others, okay, we couldn't help, so what can we do? But at least do not harm others or become an obstacle on the way, you know. So when we do those things, we are practicing Dharma, you see. And that's very important. So as I often do that, before I go back to the text and continue my explanation, I take a bit of time to explain some of the things which I thought are really important and maybe, you know, reminder for many and, you know, new information for others. And so I hope the things I talked about today are useful to all of us. So this text we have been studying together for some time is called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices. And this is a wonderful text in that, you know, for example, many great Kadamba Geshe's or the masters would ask great Adisha, this Indian master, for advices and, you know, things like that, then Adisha would answer different questions. And so this is what we are doing now, you know. So we are kind of witnessing, if you will, the conversations, you know, taking place between great Adisha and some of the great Kadamba Geshe's.
Rampung Yimpung Majes. And the round again pum like a majes can and was.
No.
And the round again pum like a garisana and a ye yin la tenny and the round McGee lay stabbing that day in a Rampung Yimpu share changers.
I think we already talked about this just to remind ourselves that we must not engage in negative actions, karmic actions, because these actions, you know, they, you know, I should say, they bring problems to both ourselves and others. So the Tibetan term we use is punga, means to defeat. If we do negativities, that brings defeat to ourselves because we have to anyway experience the outcome of negativities. But then we also, how should it bring problems into other people's life or other beings' life. So this is like we are putting everybody in, you know, not a win-win situation, but it's the loss-loss situation here, you know. So going back to where I was telling you how, you know, when we create positive actions or negative actions, in this case we are talking about negative actions, we can't talk about creating negativities in an abstract world, universe, because we create negativities in relation to somebody or something. And it is in that regard that we could either create negativities in relation to holy beings, objects of refuge, or we could be creating negativities in relation to sentient beings. Okay? And that's why we need to understand how they come into the picture. The holy beings and the sentient beings are important, you know, in our life, let's say in the case of holy beings or the sublime beings or the objects of refuge, we could do a number of negative karmic actions. And let's say we are being very disrespectful to the holy beings, and that is a negativity. Or that maybe a lot of offerings being made to them, but somehow we just, you know, snatch few from that and enjoy it. That is a negativity. There's a stealing going on. And but in this case, the negativities we create and accumulate are really bad for ourselves, because these things really do not harm them, you know. So in that sense, we cannot talk about how our negativities put, you know, holy beings into some kind of a loss situation. I mean, these really don't affect them much, you know. But we bring more troubles, if you will, you know, or more problems to ourselves. So basically, the delusions in our mind are the motivating factors often when we engage in negativities. It could either be ignorance, a lot of the time it is, or it could be anger, it could be attachment, or other forms of delusion, but these are the three prime delusions we have. So we could be out of attachment, kill someone, or out of hatred, kill someone, or out of ignorance, kill someone, okay? So we could do the same thing with others. But this is what happens. So out of, you know, deluded motivations, if we kill someone, now this is really bad for both, right? We do the negativity, we have to pay for our bad karma, but now we have killed someone, we have harmed, literally. Or even if we don't, you know, unless we couldn't kill someone, now this other person is really going to be mad with us, right? Now we have contributed to his or her experience of delusions. See that? So we become the ones who really instigated, you know, who produced the delusions in them. And so now they will do negativities, you know, out of anger. They might kill us back or whatever happens. So this is how there are so many ramifications of our negative karmic actions, that basically there's no win-win situation. You know, we create negativity, they create negativity, you all have to pay for the bad karma, and this is really bad. So then the next great Adisha tells that, of course, this is really, he's talking to or addressing some of the greatest practitioners who have renounced this worldly life, okay? So this is in that context, you know, otherwise this might not make much of sense to us, or even, you know, find for us to, we may find it hard to understand or accept this. What he said is that, if the worldly activities of this lifetime degenerate, so what? Eventually they do, you know? So don't be too much gung-ho and worried about that, you know? Because you are in spiritual practice dedication, so if the things which are supposed to anyway fall apart at the end, so why you are getting too much worried about this? Now this makes perfect sense for these completely renounced, dedicated people. But for everyday people like us, maybe a little hard. If we let all our worldly activities fall apart, maybe we'll have more problems in life, right? And but that's something we need. We need to understand. So in our case, you know, of course, now there are things we need to do which are considered as worldly things, but if we don't do this, we may not even exist. Okay? But as Dharma practitioners, we should also learn not to get too much attached to the things we do. Okay? Yes, there are things we need to do to survive, you know, to function, to exist. But then we should also cultivate sense of contentment. Okay, be contented with what things, you know. If we have one thing, don't then kind of get too much attached about it. Now we want two of those, then we have two, we want the four of those, then there's eight of those, and it just multiplies like crazy, you know, that drives us nuts, you know. Or if something bad thing happens we don't want, then we kind of like, you know, we just go into all these berserk things about why this happened to me, and shouldn't it happen to somebody? And da da da, like just goes into all the psychosis and neurosis, you know, and that makes it worse. But if something happened, if that's supposed to happen, happen. Okay, you experience the result, good or bad, but don't make it worse than what it already is. Okay, well, we have to do certain things, we have to pay the bills, whatever, but don't go into the mode of, you know, endless activities that never finish it, because that's not what the Dharma practitioners do. Okay, so we learn, for us in our case, more practical thing is, we need to do certain worldly things to survive, to exist, to be practical, pragmatic, but learn not to get attached too much to the things we do.
Rang dune ane matsang kungu chungu chiyo na, sogo chungu chiyo na. Tati pa rangi mi yinga sharo chiyo na, ti yaga chiyo ma to ko roba chingi tili ta kato chiyo ta kuru sa chiyo mara, sa kuma raba ti, ti nangi res. Tindi chaga tu tsangma lo ane rangi ane gari pangu ki res. Tili ane roba chingi chindu na, panya lo roba chingi chindu, tili ane mandawa chiyo ma res. Ya tangi pet ndu chiyo.
So continuing with the great Atisha is telling you know, some of these great Kadama Geshes that, you know, if the worldly activities of this lifetime fall apart, well, they will anyway fall apart eventually, so don't be too much worried about and concerned with that. And also, if someone in some way, how to say, contribute to the decline of your worldly activities, don't be mad with them. You know, in some way we should appreciate that, because they are helping your practice, you know. And the example given here is, let's say we need to clean our environment or a house with the, you know, all the garbage we have produced, you know. And if somebody gives us a helping hand, say, okay, I'm kind of free this weekend, I'll help you do that. Well, we're not going to be mad with this person, right? This is being helpful because we want to clean and this person is helping us. So for these practitioners who are completely renounced and should not be attached to worldly activities, should not be worried about the falling apart of worldly activities, if somebody comes and contributes to that, and that might even help them to renounce even more, you know? So don't be mad with these people, but rather appreciate it. And that's the message.
Same deed, number of tangin, rang in Yimbo, you see Japongo powers. Then that thing, Nagi, Tangi, Tangi, human Nagi, yes. Same deed, that number of the Nanto Mambuchi, those younger riches, rank in Yin Shoyak and Nanto, Dan Duyak and Nanto. And they, there be no good such a many with doing it, that they could COVID Delta, Nanto Mambuchi was younger. That is it, some one rang in Yimbo, you see Japongo powers. Tell it to the Katia, the Nimbo Kasitan to do it.
And then Adisha also goes to tell them that if, you know, they experience what we call namto, the Tibetan word namto has been rendered as conceptual thoughts, which in some ways doesn't convey that much, it's a very generic term. But what we're really talking about is all the worries and concerns and hopes and expectations of this lifetime. Okay, these are the things which bring us so much suffering, you know. So if any such worries and hopes and expectations and you know, desires pop up, you know, whatever antidote you can find, just you know, counteract these you know, worries and expectations, all this you know, mindsets. And that's very important. And there are many specific antidotes or specific deluded states of mind, if you will. For example, if anger is one's predominant problem, then maybe it's the time to learn more about how to cultivate patience, because patience is a specific antidote to anger. If attachment is one's big issue or a problem, then you know one of the things suggested is one should meditate on the repulsiveness. Now that's a you know good word of things. You know how things have repulsive nature. Yeah, you know, and that will help to counteract one's attachment. If ego is one's problem, you know, and then maybe do the breathing, you know, meditation. Just breathe in, breathe out, and let go that ego, let go that arrogance. And if that's not working, just reflect on the transitory nature of life and things, how everything is changing from moment to moment. Yeah, and eventually everything has to come to an end, you know, including our own lives. So think about the impermanence of life and things, and that will really tame the ego. You know, if ego can handle that, you know, that would be amazing. But so, so there are many specific antidotes to different delusions, and to do one's best to apply every and any antidote we can find to counteract our hopes and expectations and worries and concerns of this lifetime.
No, no, that then the Nanto Mamu Nanta, the Embrance of the Dinzi Nanto type of future, right? The Embrance of the Dinzi Nanto. Demons of the Dinzi Nanto, any Demons of the Dinzi Nanto, any Chu Kalichi in a Rangun to your Marte, Rangun to Jubber, Zimbi, Tan Nanto, that the Nanto type of future is.
But of all the worries and concerns and expectations and desires and hopes and fears, and you just now you know, add to the list, it'll go on. But the worst kind of what we call nanto, the thought or preconception we have, is the conception of grasping at self. Okay, we usually call it self-grasping or grasping at true existence. Now that is the worst form of worry, concern, whatever, you know. It is. What this really basically is every phenomenon does not exist, okay, N-O-T is big letter and underlined, okay, so that does not exist from its own side, objectively, does not exist in and of itself. However, from our point of view, we perceive them to exist just exactly that way. That's where we have gone wrong. So because we look at things as if they exist in and of themselves, now we are very gung-ho about it. It's just like this tight and, you know, grasping happens, okay? And this is the worst form of concepts we have from which all other delusions arise. So the root of all the conceptions or the worries and expectations and all of those things we have is this, you know, conception of grasping at self. So grasping at self, or in other words, is the worst form of ignorance. Ignorant conception of grasping itself, that's why I try not to do this, it's too mouthful and I have to repeat this 10 times in a translation, that drives me a little nuts here. But, you know, that is the source of all our other delusions and all our other problems. Great Indian Master Acharya Chandrakirti states in his middle supplement to the Middle Way, and Keshila quoted the lines from his memory, which says that all forms of delusions basically arise from Now we use a different term here. It's called the view of transitory collection. It's a technical term. But really, in a nutshell, it means is grasping at self. When we see the self to exist in and of itself, truly, inherently, then all problems kick in. So that grasping is the root of all other delusions. So logically, I mean, relating to that, we can say that any negativity we do is somehow related to delusion and somehow related to this grasping itself. Okay? Because they are causing us to do negativities. So if we can somehow uproot this grasping itself, we can just kind of take it out, you know, then all other forms of delusion cannot reside in us, which means when we are free of delusion, then all the problems we are talking about, which delusions bring to us, they don't exist in us or with us, you know. Now we are really free, liberated. Great Indian master Aryadeva, the main disciple of Arya Nagarjuna, states in his very profound work called 400 stanzas on the middle way. It's called Chatukshetak in Sanskrit, Shivdeva. And in that it said, again Kesava quoted the line from his memory, Timu chombe chombeju, if you destroy ignorance, all those things will be destroyed. Now what are we really talking about here is that we have so many delusions in each of us, okay? If you want the complete list, it is 84,000 forms of delusion. I mean, we are really rich, you know, in delusions. Figure this one out. Nobody is poor here. Very rich. So now the question is, how can I get rid of all these 84,000 forms of delusion, which is driving me nuts and everybody nuts around me, is if we uproot the ignorant grasping at self, then this all other, you know, my medicine will be bad, but, you know, just, you know, all this 8,000 whatever other delusions will, you know, will not be there, because they are all dependent upon grasping at self. So when we free ourselves from grasping at self, we free ourselves from all other forms of delusions, and so that is the secret here. Okay. Again, the emphasis is one's own grasping itself. We have to look within ourselves. We are not talking about, you know, Mr. XYZ's grasping or Mrs. XYZ's grasping. My grasping itself is the root problem, and this is what I need to get rid of. So now how do we do that? How do we uproot that grasping at self from within us? Of course, it's wonderful to recite mantras, but that's not enough. You know, it is you know, wonderful to say some nice prayers, that's not enough. What really requires it is a deep thinking and the use of reason and logic. We have to use analysis, we have to use reasoning in order to get through this grasping. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is we need to realize the profound view of emptiness or shunyata or sunata in Pali. You know, we need to realize the ultimate nature of phenomena called emptiness or voidness or some other beautiful words somebody has that I don't know yet. Okay, we need to realize that ultimate nature of phenomena in order to get rid of ignorance from within our mind.
Uh-huh.
And in order to get to emptiness, we need to go through this whole, you know, reasoning and analysis. It's through reasons, the use of the reasons, we need to understand what does emptiness mean. What do we mean that all phenomena are empty? What does that mean? So this is where the best reasoning we use is called the reason of dependent arising. I don't know how much sense is conveyed in English here. The pratit samutpat in Sanskrit, how everything exists relatively and in relation to something else. Okay, so that is the best reason we use to analyze phenomena and to get to emptiness. That's because the great Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti states in his supplement to the Middle Way or the Madhyamika Avatar, again Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, he said, if we use the reasoning of dependent arising or pratit samutpat, tenjung in Tibetan, or dependent origination, we can cut through this whole network of deluded conceptions. And I think I'll stop there today, and once again I want to remind all of ourselves that in our everyday life, as we are, you know, enjoying life, you know, leading our life, you know, do our best to bring these teachings into everyday life, that, you know, do as much as we can, you know, to stop the negativities or to purify ourselves of the negativities and try to do the things which are positive and, you know, helpful. This month, according to Tibetan lunar calendar, is called Sagadava, the fourth month according to Tibetan lunar calendar, which is considered as the holiest month for you know, Buddhist practitioners. Why? Because in this particular month, three of the greatest deeds of Buddha's life, you know, took place, or, you know, and that's why. So actually it is on the 15th of this month, which would be full moon, day that, you know, Buddha was born on the full moon of this month. Buddha attained enlightenment or performed the deed of attaining enlightenment on the full moon again of this month, and then finally he performed the deed of passing away into parinirvana on the same day.
So the
Saga is a Tibetan name of a star for this particular month. Every month is associated with a star. Now, you know, this is something astrologers would know, but so this month is called Sagadava because of the star Saga. So this is the month where, you know, Buddha's three great enlightened deeds, you know, were performed.
Manas.
So we believe that in this month, of course, in a general sense, you know, if we do negativities, they will bring negative, you know, results. If we do positive action, they bring positive results. But having said that, due to the significance or the auspiciousness of this month, all the good and bad things we do, they multiply by many times, and therefore our actions become extremely powerful actions, both good and bad. So if we do something negative this month, well, that is really bad. It's going to be very, very bad. But if we do something good, it's going to be really, really good because of the significance of the month. And so what we normally try to do is we try to dedicate more into practice, you know, for months like this. And that would be, and I have some, I mean, I'm renouncing the same stuff here. Let me see. Wednesday, June 7, Geshe-la in the evening will give refuge vows, you know, and that means people who, you know, decided from their side to take Buddhism as their path. So if they want to take the refuge vows, that's been given, and that will be followed by an introduction to what is called Nyungne practice, fasting retreat of Buddha of Compassion, Avalokiteshvara. Okay, so this would be especially good for new people. If you think, okay, I want to do the retreat this weekend, but what does it really mean? What am I supposed to do now? You know, all that. And then Saturday, June 10, is the first day of the Nyungne retreat. Okay, and then the Sunday, there will be no teaching because it's the second day and nobody's going to talk or eat and do anything. So it's completely, you know, whole day retreat. And so that is the June 11, which is the full moon day, so Buddha's enlightenment and Buddha's birth and Buddha's parinirvana day, which will be observed. And then Monday, June 12, in the morning, early morning, we'll have one more session, and that will conclude your fasting retreat practice, Nyungne, and you will be released of your vows and, you know, all that. So that's the coming weekend. So no teaching for the general public, but those who participate in Nyungne, you are here. And then the following week, Sunday, which is June 18, there is no teaching because Geshe-la will be teaching in Colorado Springs. Okay, so we have next 2 weeks no teaching, but the next weekend is the Nyungne practice retreat, and the week after that, no teaching. Maybe you can get some rest, those who do Nyungne. Okay, then there's one more. Here, two of our very long-time, you know, students and of Geshe-la, and who've been in long retreat for years and years, they need our help. Their name is Jean and Francis, and they need if somebody has a place, you know, for their car needs a home for 2 months. Okay, so if somebody has a place, you know, for their car to be parked at there, so please talk to Annie. Okay, you would appreciate that. Let us dedicate our collective marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy beings, wherever they are in any part of the universe, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In essence, we dedicate our marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may all we all reach complete enlightened state quickly. Lord, 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 Lord,
Sanjula Sanjula Rambuja Madhya Bana Shigurati Chebanya Bane Pavatam Konya Konda Pavara Chotuni Tawar Rambuja Madhya Bana Shigurati Chebanya Bane Pavatam Konya Konda Pavara Chotuni Tawar Rambuja Madhya Bana
All right.